This is Chad Roberts, and you're listening to Awakened Radio. In today's edition of Awakened to Grace, we are in Matthew chapter 4, and we are in just a fascinating series called Lies We Believe. You know, I thought I understood Matthew chapter 4 because I've heard it preached many times growing up, but until we really dug into the text, did I realize I did not understand a fraction of this amazing portion of Scripture. Well, today we come upon the first lie, the first temptation that Satan had with Christ, and it was to turn stones into loaves of bread. We're going to understand the meaning of this lie, and we're going to understand the meaning of the temptation, and I hope it ministers to you in a big way today.
See, salvation brings gratitude. Salvation doesn't make you stuck up. Salvation doesn't make me go, oh, I'm better than you. You're full of sin and I'm better than you. If that's what your salvation did, all you got is religion. And you don't have the real McCoy, amen? You don't have the real deal. Because let me tell you, when you got real salvation, you go, oh, God had mercy on me, a sinner. God's grace was rich in my life. Salvation doesn't make you puff up in pride. It makes you grow downward. It makes you go low in humility. It don't make you point fingers. Oh, that's religion. Thanks be to God, the Father, who has qualified you. Colossians 1:12. What qualifies you to follow Christ? Certainly nothing of your own. It's God who qualifies you. What qualifies you to walk past your past? Nothing except God has qualified you. What qualifies you to walk into church and worship a God who's forgiven? Only God can qualify us. And see, it's not you, and it's not me, and it's not other people. It's God and God alone. And that's why our gratitude doesn't go to the church, and it doesn't go to the pastor, and it don't go to other people. Our gratitude is reserved. Our worship is reserved for Jesus Christ and Jesus alone, because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Remarkable. So the next time Satan comes and he attacks you and says, you remember who you were? You remember, you still struggle with those thoughts. You still struggle with those cravings. You still struggle with those desires. You say, yes, sir, but God has saved me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ loved me and he died for me. So let's look at Jesus' response. Now, remember this. Jesus didn't face this temptation to prove anything. He had nothing to prove. The Father already affirmed him. He had nothing to prove. So why did Jesus face this? This is a wonderful example. In the 1800s, a new railroad company had been built, and they were a passenger train. They were trying to build up their business. But there was a certain bridge in a town that no one believed that the train, that the bridge would hold, could sustain the weight. The railroad company was brilliant. You know what they did? They advertised the day that the whole community could come out. They got a train, a locomotive, filled it full of steel. And you know what they did? They ran that train frontward and backward and frontward and backward and frontward and backward. Now, what was that train company? What were they trying to show? They were trying to show, listen, the bridge will hold. You can trust us. The bridge will hold. Do you know what Jesus is teaching us? It wasn't a matter of if he was going to sin. He wasn't going to sin. He's God. You know what he was teaching us? Christ will hold. In the fiercest temptations, Christ will hold. You can trust him. You can tell him, listen, you have wrong desires, you have wrong urges, you have areas of sexuality that you struggle in, you have areas of addiction that you struggle in, you have areas within your emotions, you have psychological issues in which you struggle, you have depression and isolation, you have these areas in which you struggle. Let me tell you, Christ will hold. You bring it all to Jesus, because the Bible says in Hebrews, He was tempted in every point in which we are tempted, and yet He was without sin. He will hold. And that's why you don't run from God. You don't shudder from God. You don't run from church. You don't run away from the things of God. No, you fall on God and say, be merciful to me, a sinner. Change who I am. Change who I am. And I'm telling you, Christ will hold. That's the purpose of Matthew 4. That's why He shows us these great temptations. Now, let's look at Jesus' response. It's interesting. Jesus never had a conversation with Satan. I mean, if I was Jesus, I would have flexed my muscles. I would have beat him to a pulp. I would have worn him out. But do you remember what we said last week? Jesus never one time used one divine godlike ability. Do you know what He did? He used the spiritual resources that is available to every single Christian. He used prayer, fasting, and scripture. Do you know why He used those three weapons? So that average people like me and average people like you could overcome the evil one. You put prayer, fasting, and scripture into your life, into the disciplines of your life, into the routine of your life, I promise you, you'll overcome Satan. You'll overcome every scheme. You'll overcome every tactic. You'll overcome every method. You'll overcome every strategy. You'll overcome every lie. You'll overcome every accusation. You'll overcome every temptation that Satan tries to bring to you, just like Jesus did. So here He is, He said, He quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. He doesn't have a conversation. He quotes scripture. And He says to the tempter, He says, man shall not live by bread alone. What's Jesus saying here? Oh, fascinating. Quote straight out of the book of Deuteronomy. What's it mean, man shall not live by bread alone? Do you know what Jesus is saying? Our life is not sustained by the food that we eat. Our life is sustained by God and God alone. You know what that means? That means someone who's immensely healthy can drop dead. And someone who's immensely sick can continue living. We live till the day God says we're finished. Do you understand what I'm saying? Back in March of 2015, my dad was very sick. He passed away in January of 2017, but this was March of 2015. I stood up to preach that morning, and they came, got me in the opening of my sermon. They whispered in my ear and said, you're going to have to leave right now. Your dad's very bad. I had to cut my sermon short. Bob took over, and I left for the hospital. He was very sick, and he was on a ventilator and septic in his blood and very sick. And I asked the doctor, I said, what are we looking for? What are we hoping for? And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, Chad, he said, your dad is as sick as a human being can possibly be. Well, I knew, and I remember my emotions were so raw. Those of you that you've been through those experiences, you know exactly what I mean. In one sense, I mean, my faith would soar and I would know that he's in the hands of God, and I would know that even if he died that day, it'd be the best day of his life because he would be with Christ, right? But then two seconds later, I'd be crying out to God to spare him and not take. It was a roller coaster of emotions, so raw. But when I remember I stayed the night with him that night, and I was in the waiting room, ICU or critical care, whatever it was. And I was in the waiting room and I was by myself and I was praying, I was seeking the Lord. And I just remember the Lord really ministering to me, saying, listen, it doesn't matter what any doctor says. It doesn't matter what anyone in this hospital says. If it is not your dad's time, he will walk out of this hospital. If it's not. If it is his time, he's going to walk onto the shores of heaven. And the Lord asked me, he said, what's a greater miracle? Is there a greater miracle that he recovers and walk out of the hospital? Or is the greater miracle that I take his soul into eternity and he walks onto the shores of heaven? What do you think's greater? And I resolved in my heart that night, yes, if this is not the time that God has ordained, my dad will recover. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says, he'll recover. It doesn't matter how sick he is, he'll recover. See, what Jesus is saying is that we do not live. You take all your medicines, you take all your vitamins, you do all that. Listen, we don't live by bread alone. We live by the words that come out of the mouth of God. He sustains our life. You know what Jesus is doing? He's recognizing God's sovereignty. So when Satan, the tempter, comes and he says, well, if you are God's son, why is he allowing you to be hungry? He's saying, no, no, that has nothing to do with it, because I live based on God's goodness. I live based on the words of God. So number one, it's God's sovereignty. Lastly, and this will be the last thing I share with you. Not only was he recognized God's sovereignty, but he was recognizing the spiritual needs above the physical needs. Now remember, in our Armor of God series, we shared that when the Bible says the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6, that word is not logos, meaning the entirety of God's word. It's rhema, meaning the sayings of God. This is the exact word that Jesus uses when he says every word out of the mouth of God. It's rhema, the many sayings of God. So as you quote scripture, as you memorize scripture, as you base your life upon scripture, as you get it deep into your mind and deep into your heart and deep into your soul, it's going to sustain your life like physical food. You understand what I'm saying? The many sayings of God. You need peace today, there are many sayings of God in the Bible. You need comfort today, many sayings of God. You need direction today, many sayings of God. You need healing today, many sayings of God. You need peace today, many sayings of God. The Bible has joy and all of these great things. Everything that you need today is in the Word of God. And we live, we're sustained by it. Now think with me for a moment. What does food do for us? I cannot wait to go eat. I am so ready to go eat. Whew. I get excited thinking about it right now. Man, I took Pastor Mosa and Kevin to Golden Corral this week. And Kevin's 13. It's his first time in the United States. And when he saw that chocolate fountain, oh my goodness. If it could be dipped in chocolate, that boy dipped it in chocolate. If he had seen it before the salad, he would have had his salad over there dipping it in chocolate. I said, Kevin, what's your favorite? He said, chocolate always wins out. I said, all right. Anyway, I'm thinking about Golden Corral now. I don't even remember where I'm at. Oh, yeah. The physical need above the spiritual need. So what? See, now think about it. What's Satan trying to get Christ to do? Listen. It's the same temptation with which he brings to us. The same one. Here's what he's telling Christ. He's saying, your physical needs are more important than your spiritual needs. Use your divine power. Act independently from the will of God and take care of you. Listen, here's what he's saying. He's saying, you're out here in a wilderness. You're away from the Father. He's been with the Father for all of eternity past. You're out here on your own. Where's the Father now? Where's the Spirit now? If you are the Son of God, if you are who you think you are, then take care of you. And you know what the great temptation is? The great temptation, not only did he attack the sonship of Jesus, the great temptation is that he tried to get Jesus to put the physical needs above the spiritual and act independently of God's will. My friends, he does the same thing to us today. There are many of you, you're great people, you're great families, you're great moms, you're great dads, you're great, you're great people. But here's the fault. You put your physical needs above your spiritual needs. Spiritual things are not a priority to you. Spiritual nourishment is not a priority to you. And so you're busy and you're going to this and you're going to that and you're managing this, you're managing that, and you're pulled in all these different directions and you have all these different responsibilities and you're trying to be a good parent and you're trying to build your family, you're trying to do all this stuff, but spiritual nourishment is way down here because Satan's fed you a lie that your physical needs are greater than the spiritual. And let me tell you, they're not. And let me tell you why they're not. C.S. Lewis said it best. He said, you are not a body that happens to have a soul. He said, actually, it's the exact reverse. You are a soul. You just happen to have a body. Who we truly are is a soul. That's who we really are. That's what's created in the image of God. So one day when we stand before God, it's not going to be our body standing before God. It's our soul. And many of you never feed your soul. You never care for your soul. If we could see your soul today, many of you would be ashen. You'd be sick. You'd be pale because you don't feed off the words of God. Oh, you eat Taco Bell and KFC, but you don't feed off of the words of God. And Jesus says, John chapter 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Now, what does food do for us? It sustains us. Are there ever times that if you don't eat, you get weak? But you can eat something and all of a sudden it revives you. See, some of you are so weak today. You think you're weak because you hate your job. You think you're weak because maybe you're having some marriage issues. You think you're weak because your kids drive you crazy. You think you're weak because you don't have enough money. You think you're weak because, you know, you have these issues or you have health. No. You're weak because your soul is weak because you're not feasting, you're not eating, you're not getting the nourishment in your soul that it requires. So Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone. God will determine when I die or when I live. I don't live based on my physical needs. No. But I live out of every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's saying my soul is more important than my body. And those of you with young families and those of you that you're raising your families, I cannot stress the urgency enough. Spiritual things should be the priority of your family. It should be number one. And I know T-ball's important, and I know volleyball's important, and I know that cheerleading is important, and I know that this club and that event and that school thing, and I know all of those things matter. But let me tell you, your job is to awaken a thirst and a hunger for God in your kids' lives. And I'm telling you, mom and dad, if they don't see it in you, God help them. Because how are they going to desire it? It begins with you. You set the tone for spiritual things inside your home. You set the tone for it. You set the tone. So where are you? Have you believed this lie from Satan that your physical needs? Oh, we all have to earn an income. We have to. We all have to go to work and we all have responsibilities and we all have bills. We all have groceries and we all have these things and they matter. I'm not saying at all that they don't matter. But what I am saying is that we need the view that Jesus had, that I don't live by my income. I don't live by what I can purchase. I don't live for my vacations. I don't live for how my kids dress or what they own or what they're involved in. I don't live for the identity of my work. I don't live for... No, I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am who God says that I am. I'm his son, and he'll care for me. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. So no, the spiritual priorities of my life, they're going to rise to the top. And those other things that matter, and those other things that they're important, Jesus helps me, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things, they'll be added to you. As Michael comes, let's bow our heads. I don't know where you are today, but I can feel the Holy Spirit directing and leading and saying, listen, we need to reevaluate the priorities of our life. God's given you a good job. You thank God for that job, but is it more of a priority than spiritual things? God's given you abilities. God's given you responsibility. Thank God. Thank God for those responsibilities. But are they more important than spiritual things? Let us examine our families today. Let us examine our lives and say, are we self-sufficient or are we living on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? Where are you today? Where are you? See, Satan has a short playbook, and his temptations on you, I'm telling you, they are not unique to you. They are not. They're not unique to you, and they're not unique to me. And that's why Jesus shows us this great conflict. He showed us how to overcome it. Where's your nourishment at today? Where's your strength? Some of you just respond in your heart right now. Some of you are just wore out. You're wore out. You're wore out. You're tired mentally. You're tired emotionally. You're tired physically. You're tired spiritually. And you say, Chad, it's because my marriage isn't working. Well, that lends to it. You say, Chad, it's because I don't have enough income. That lends to it. Chad, I'm having health issues. Well, yes, that lends to it. Chad, I'm having conflict at work. Yes, that lends to it. But listen, it's not the root. It's not the root today. What the root is that you're not nourishing the most important part of you, and that's your soul. That's the root. Because let me just tell you from experience, you get that part of you taken care of. You let God do what he needs to in your soul. Your soul is strengthened. And guess what? You can handle the health challenges. You can handle the marriage challenges. You can handle the work challenges. You can handle the money challenges. You can, listen, God's not going to just let you walk around. He's going to give you the grace to go through them. You'll go through them. And you'll do it with God's grace. And you can handle anything that Satan tries to bring to your life. But listen, you can't be undernourished. You can't do that. You can't do that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Chad, I'm trying to be good for my family, but boy, my priorities are way out of sync. They're way out of sync. They're way, way out of sync. Well, let the word of God correct you today. Receive it. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I need to put prior. I need to put spiritual things top priority. Pray with your family. You say, Chad, I can't do that. Listen, you sit down to eat. Hey, Dad, you sit down to eat. You're telling me you can't bow your head and say, God, thank you for the food you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. You're telling me you can't do... Listen, Satan will tell you you can't do that, but he's a liar. You're telling me that you can't bow your head and say, God, thank you for the food. Amen. You can't do that. He's a liar, my friend. He's a liar. You're having marriage problems? You tell me you can't take your wife by the hand and say, let's pray and ask God to help us. He's a liar. He's a liar. Put those spiritual things in priority. Make it the top. The top. And I tell you, when you get those things straightened out, everything else will begin to straighten from there. We all struggle. Don't let Satan tell you you're the only one in the room struggling today, because that's what he'll tell you. Don't let him tell you you're the least in this room today, because that's what he'll tell you. If he told Jesus, if he tried to get Jesus to doubt he was the Son of God, what's he going to try on you and I? But see, we know him for the deceiver he is. We know him for the liar he is. We know him for the trickster, for the accuser, for the tempter that he is. And we're not going to fall for it anymore, because we have the truth of God's word. And what did Jesus say? The truth will set you free. So God, we glorify you today. And I pray for everyone listening to this sermon, whether they're here today or they're listening later online. I pray for everyone listening that you'll work in our hearts, you'll work in our lives. We give Satan no room, no room in our marriage, no room in our family, no room in our employment. We give him no room in our thought life. We give him no room in our desires. We give him no room in our emotions or in our affections. We just give him no room today. But we submit all of us to the Lord. All of us, we submit to the Lord. Every area of our life, Lord, we yield to you. We surrender to you. We give to you, Lord. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you the way we think. Lord, we give you everything. We submit to you. And we ask you, Lord, to help us. We ask you to sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen. I love our prayer times at the end of these sermons. Well, my friend, if you are fighting off the enemy right now, I mean if he is bombarding you, tempting you, accusing you, lying to you, well, we want to pray for you. Don't go through these fierce trials alone. Contact us, and we're going to stand with you in prayer. I would love for you to write to us or email us or contact us through social media. Tell us who you are. Tell us where you are. And let's pray together. Well, as always, I'm so glad that you're listening. And there are many ways that you can connect with us. If you do not have a home church, then I would encourage you to visit our church website, preachingchristchurch.com. If you do have a great home church, but you still love our resources and you want to connect with the content that we create, you can always visit our resource website, awakenedtograce.com. And as always, you can download our free mobile app, Awakened to Grace. Visit your App Store or Google Play, search Awakened to Grace, and download it on any device. Well, it means a lot to us that you listen. And if you are listening and you are growing through the content that we create, whether it's books or articles or music or podcast or sermons that we broadcast, I would ask you to consider making a financial gift toward our ministry, because, you know, the many platforms that we are on, they're very expensive, and we spend a great deal of money in order that we can reach people, not just inside our city, but people who live far beyond our city and our region. It is very important to us that we influence people with the gospel, that we see life change come to their families, and we think the greatest way to do that is to teach the Word of God. So If you're listening and you are growing, consider helping us take this message, to take the gospel even further. Thank you for listening today. This is Chad Roberts, and you're listening to Awakened to Grace.